Here's a message from Ken LaVica.
One of the most pointless rules in sports reared its ugly head again last night. Stone Labanowitz hit the open.
On your mark. Get set. Go!
You are listening to Ken LaVica Live.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
Turn it up! Turn it up!
Now, live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, it's Ken LaVica Live on ESPN 106.3.
Stone, let's not waste any time. I want to hear the play that has everybody aghast, everybody furious, everybody upset. The old fumble through the end zone into touchback, into defense gets the ball. The second quarter last night, Eagles-Vikings on Amazon Prime. Justin Jefferson, all-world wide receiver, battling from the five to try and get into the end zone, and the ball pops loose. This is what everybody, including Theo Dorsey, is head over heels upset about. This is the Justin Jefferson play.
Cousins hanging in. Cousins deep. That's pulled in. And the ball comes out, but he is out of bounds at the as they drop it at the half.
And Al Michaels had no idea what was going on last night. It ended up being ruled a fumble through the side of the end zone. Touchback, Eagles get the ball. That would have been a go-ahead score if the Vikings could have finished it off, and the Eagles rolled from there. And joining us now to talk about that and many other things, I guess, so momentous, we take them right in the opening moments of our show on Friday. It is our NFL insider, former Jets GM, Dolphins on-field boss, Mike Tannenbaum, every single Friday here on ESPN 106.3. Mike, the touchback rule when you fumble through the end zone, is it to you the dumbest, most pointless rule in sports?
Absolutely. Good to be with you guys. It's really unfair. I mean, maybe the ball has to go back to the 20-yard line, but they keep the ball. It just, that was a 10-point swing. You know, give credit to the Eagles for hitting that great field goal, Lynn Elliott, but boy, that was a big, big impact in the game, and that rule has never made sense to me.
Outside of that rule, in the sport of football, if there's one other rule you could change or you could abolish tomorrow, which one would it be?
You know, probably the roughing the passer with the body weight. Like, when you tackle somebody, you're going to land on them. Like, that's just physics. So that's another rule that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Mike Tannenbaum with us. He is our NFL insider, and he joins us here on Ken LaVica Live. Theo, you want to jump in here with Mike? I don't want to leave you silent any longer.
No, I appreciate you, man, and I'm excited to do so. I'm curious because as a Chiefs fan right now, I don't want to switch gears off of that amazing Thursday night football game we got, but I'm questioning particularly with Chris Jones coming back now this week for the game against the Jaguars, just your thoughts as a guy that's a former general manager, how are those relations? What is it like that first week back? Is it all really like hunky-dory? Is it going to be good? Like, should I be expecting good things Sunday? Or should I kind of like, you know, be tempering my expectations for what's going to happen for Kansas City?
Yeah, I think, you know, 20, 25 plays probably makes sense. You know, he's a bigger guy. It's going to take him a couple weeks. We've seen a ton of soft tissue injuries, which typically happens the first couple of weeks of the season. But look, he's a great player. You know, they'll get him and Travis Kelce back, and I expect Kansas City to get right back to where they were.
I feel good.
I have to imagine, based off of our conversation, Mike, on Tuesday, you're a bit surprised that the Jets haven't gone out and brought in some sort of name or some sort of heavily experienced veteran to back up Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Ken, I'm shocked. You know, they're one hit away from playing Tim Boyle. I mean, this is a team that's really good, has a chance to compete. I'm really surprised they haven't done anything yet. And if they believed in Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers never would have been there.
Nothing more nauseating will be said today than the Jets are one hit away from playing Tim Boyle to Jets fans. Mike Tannenbaum with us here, our NFL insider here on Ken LaVica Live. Are you ready yet to switch your MVP prediction from Justin Herbert to Tua Tagovailoa? Be honest.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Give Tua a ton of credit, but I'll tell you what. Here's an amazing statistic. In week one, Tua and Aaron Rodgers were hit the same amount of times, three. Aaron Rodgers played four snaps, and you know, two obviously played the whole game.
Yeah.
And I was really give a ton of credit to the Miami Dolphins offensive line, who played without Taron Armstead and Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, really never sniffed Tua. And that, to me, you know, that was a great game, seven lead changes. Miami, you know, made enough plays at the end and deserved to win. But, boy, I was shocked how well they were able to pass protect.
Random question for you, Mike. We found out yesterday that all three of us on the show, this was Jeanette, not Theo, we're all capable of changing tires. Does Mike Tannenbaum know how to change a tire on his automobile?
No, not even close. Okay. I mean, I couldn't even pretend to know what to do. So I have a father who's very, very mechanically inclined and did all those things growing up, and I am a great example of how those things skip a generation.
Didn't exactly get passed down through the bloodline with the Tannenbaums. Mike, I do want to ask you, just looking ahead this weekend, what are you really keyed in on? What are you fascinated about? And two-part question, what you're looking forward to most this weekend, and are the Minnesota Vikings bad?
Yeah, you know, the Patriot-Dolphin game should be a great game. Really curious to see how Belichick tries to defend these, you know, this great Dolphin offense. I think that should be a great chess match. And, you know, Minnesota won of their 13 games, I think like 10 or 11 were by one score, and now they're 0 for 2 in one score games this year. And those things do have a tendency of evening out over time.
Stone, go ahead and jump in here with Mike T.
Mike, driving into work today, I'm listening to Greening. You guys kicked off the show with the Jets backup situation and obviously the Thursday night football game last night. Can you explain it to me like I'm 5 years old? You guys were talking about Kirk Cousins being in a Jets uniform before the season's even over. How would that work?
Yeah, trade deadline's end of October, and if Minnesota's out of it, you know, maybe for a third-round pick, his cap number is very manageable for the Jets to acquire it, and if the Jets are still in the thick of things, that could be a trade that, you know, could be a win-win, you know, for both sides.
Mike, really appreciate the time as always. Hope you have a great weekend. Looking forward to talking next week to recap week two and look forward to week three. But have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
That is Mike Tannenbaum, our NFL insider here on Ken Lavica Live. Real quick, Stone. That was an emphatic no on the tire change there from Mike Tannenbaum. Our Steve Polizziner, Palm Beach County Sports Hall of Famer, executive within our company, doesn't know how to change a tire. These are high-profile people. These are powerful people that don't know how to change a tire on their car. So that brings me, Stone, to Theo. Theo, do you know how to change a tire on a car?
Well, if you had to guess, I want to see what you guys think.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I'd know how to change a tire. Come on.
Okay. Well, we predicted that you probably didn't yesterday.
Yeah. Why?
Why would we guess? He was going to start that stone with a, if you had
I want to
guess.
Know. I want to know you guys' thoughts on it. You guys both said no. You didn't think I could change a tire?
Ken didn't really say yes or no. I was like, you know what? Theo probably can't. And we just giggled.
Yeah. Stone's the one who took, I didn't like deny that I wasn't on board with Stone. We'll put it that way.
Here's the thing. As a dude that rolled around in a hoopty for a while, if I didn't know how to change a tire, I was going to be broke, so it was one or the other.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I did have a tire issue, I literally looked it up on YouTube. I had a jack in my trunk, and I had all the tools. I had the the wrench joint, and I don't know all the particulars of
jack.
It, but I've changed my tire like at least
Ken.
Probably a double-digit amount of times I've changed the tire.
Ken, yeah. For me, this is more of a conversation about the 1% than it is Gen Z.
Could not agree more with you.
This is scary stuff.
That's part
of it. This is not general. I don't think this is generational. I think we're talking 1% here. Yeah, that's a great call. That's a very good call. I actually had a car that was so beat up in college. It had a crack in its coolant tank where I was literally every 30 miles or so stopping to pour bottled water in the coolant tank of the car in order for it to not overheat. So you learn quickly how to keep your car put together when you have no money. Well, all right.
I was about to say, so you know how to change a tire, right, Snow?
Absolutely.
But today, if your
he
car
did it yesterday.
Did,
that's why we brought it up. He did it yesterday.
See, but today, I don't think I would actually do it. I think I would just call and use the service.
That's fair.
Because it's free.
That's fair.
Like back in college and whatnot, and when I was first getting into the industry and it happened to me over and over, I would do it. But nowadays, I'm not getting my hands dirty.
Oh, now, you're big time.
Yeah.
You're too successful and too pretty. Yeah, you're
Mike T and Steve P.
You're a TV celebrity now. I am completely on board with you on that. All right.
You're good. I'm sorry, Ken. Steve didn't even know there was a tire in his car that
right,
he's driving
no
around it.
Wait,
he didn't know.
No, he's
like,
know.
He's like, did you guys buy the tools, like the jack and stuff? He didn't know there was
and
a
I
tire
was like,
in his
that
car.
Comes with the, wow. the automobile. Yeah.
That's a you know what? I love that for him, though. I aspire to have that amount of, they say ignorance is bliss. He's so far removed from that. That he's just like, yeah, flip the light switch and it goes on. Like, well, I don't care about what happens inside the damn wall.
Speaking of 1%, I asked him what was the thing that he does know how to do to help around the house. And he said, oh, clean the pool filter. And he doesn't know how to mow a lawn or has not mowed the lawn.
He knows how to mow a lawn.
Nope.
No, I know. So that's what Stone's talking about.
It's
right
like
there.
Vacuuming, but it's used to
it's about, lawnmower. It's vacuuming, but cutting grass. That's actually a good way to – that's actually a really strong way to describe mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
And much hotter. All right. So last night I was at the Canes game, as was Stone. And Stone, I was just too lazy to come up and hang for a little bit. I was it was kind of hot. And
couldn't come up to the club seats. I get it.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to do that. But Stone and I were both there last night, and it was a blowout. And by the way, Bethune-Cookman, can somebody in Bethune-Cookman, a proud institution with a proud football program, can someone with money please get that football team helmets that were made after 2005?
Yikes.
Is that possible? They're wearing the Riddell, just regular, what you would have seen at a high school 20 years ago helmets, just the big domes. There's no ridges. There's no protection for the head. It's just the big dome helmets. I cannot believe I saw a Division I college football game last night with a team that was wearing 2003 high school football helmets.
That's sad.
It was really, it is, Bethune-Cookman's better than that. And they didn't bring the band, and I don't know whose fault that is, but that was complete nonsense, too.
How do you not bring the band up from Daytona?
If you're playing an HBCU, I don't care how much money you have to pay. If you're the home team, you pay for them to make the trip.
You should. They should have funded that. That should have been part of whatever the check stipend was for that
money. Yeah, the Canes just gave us Bohemian Rhapsody at halftime. I was expecting Bethune to give us
Stone disrespecting the band of the hour. Stone is disrespecting the band of the hour. And you know what? They deserve it. Okay. But the reason I bring that up is that I look at my phone and Theo was like, oh, God, tomorrow we need to talk about rules that need to change in sports. And I had not yet seen the Justin Jefferson play. I didn't realize, by the way, Stone, that Al Michaels had no earthly idea what happened on that play. So, second quarter, Justin Jefferson catches a ball along the sideline. He's trying to get into the end zone. He has it pop free. It pops through the side of the end zone, and there is the play that everybody hates, the rule that everybody hates in football, the offensive touchback into defense getting the ball at the 20-yard line. Now, I did some research, and by research, I mean Google, and I still could not find this morning the origin or why that rule actually exists. It just sort of is there, and I think that's what makes it as infuriating as it is that it doesn't make any sense that it exists, yet there's never been discussion about taking it off the books. We, like, once a year get mad at it, and then we just forget about it. We don't change overtimes like we did when we were trying to hand the Buffalo Bills a world championship. We always are changing, hit the quarterback. You can't touch him after Tom Brady got his ACL torn up, but that play happens at least once or twice in NFL season, and then we get mad, and then we just don't bring it up in owners' meetings any longer. That thing's got to go.
It's got to happen in a pivotal playoff game, honestly. Like, if you think about the plays that actually lead to rule changes, it usually either is in a primetime type playoff game with a team that matters, or it happens to Tom Brady. So, like, that's what we kind of need to happen. I don't know who that guy would be, who's the new Tom Brady that, you know, rule would have to be changed because it would benefit him. Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes, but I think that's going to be the thing that moves the needle. I don't think Eagles, Vikings, Thursday night football is going to make it happen.
Yeah, I just it's so bad. It's such a bad rule. And then after that, though, I was thinking, what's another rule that I would just get rid of? If I could do it and tomorrow it's gone, it's off the books. First in football, the ineligible man downfield penalty, I would take that away. And honestly, Here's my proposal for that, okay? Because I like the big fat guys on the line, Stone. I'm a big fan of the Hawks, okay? And they need a little bit more action than just blocking. These guys, they put their bodies through hell to keep 320, 325, 330. They need to be able to be part of the action. I'm tired of fun and unique pass plays being blown up because a flag is thrown because the big dude is 10 yards down the field. You know what? Make sure you pay attention to the big guy. Don't let him get to the second level. If he gets there, he should earn his flowers for being able to hoof it down the field and keep throwing blocks. And here's another thing. We need a separate clock. Once the ball is snapped, after it hits 7, if the play's still alive, guess who's eligible? All those fat guys. Get them involved. How do you feel about that, Stone?
Now, I can get down with the latter part. And also, for every coach out there listening, they're rock hard. Like, they love this because you're opening...
Didn't see that coming.
You're opening an entirely new world. What you would get would be guys like Andy Reid, guys like Bill Belichick bending the rules, and you would see tunnel screens being run 10 yards down the field where you have a guard and a tackle pulling outside the formation. Ken, you're opening in a brand new
hot
playbook. It's almost illegal. There'd be offensive coordinators who would take advantage of that.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
But I'm all for the big dudes getting more action. Okay? I'm all for that. At the very least, get rid of an eligible man downfield. Okay? Or illegal touching. We've got to let these guys cook a little bit. I would get rid of that immediately if I already knew that touchback out of the side or back of the end zone on offense was going to be eliminated from the books. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Mine is an eligible man downfield. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's 888-760-3776. Also, if you're a big fat guy, do you need more action? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. And on social media, at KLV1063. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? You can't choose the touchback on offense out of the end zone now. Like, we're collectively, as this radio show, we are saying goodbye. We have vetoed it. It is off the books. It is gone forever. What other rule are you eliminating if you could by tomorrow? Just knock it off the books. Doesn't matter the sport. Theo, where are you going with this?
Yeah, if we're changing up away from football, I want to go to America's pastime because, of course, when it comes to Big Teddy, I'm always talking baseball. I'm always talking baseball.
Or hockey.
There's one thing I associate Theo with, it's baseball and hockey.
Pull out that stick and let's hit that hardball, man.
There it is.
Give me some Cracker Jacks and apple pie.
Peanuts.
And peanuts. Sure. Yeah. Okay. No, but for real, in baseball, and this annoyed me more as a kid because that's back when I actually was paying more attention to baseball than now, even though I get paid technically to pay attention to baseball.
Sure.
The intentional walk. Let's get rid of it, but also here's my idea to get rid of it because I know it's a kind of complicated thing to get rid of because you can always still throw four balls. I think, and this would add more runs to the scoreboard, this would add more offense, more electricity in these baseball stadiums who God knows we need more of that. If you throw four balls without throwing a single strike, that runner should be able to start on second base in scoring position.
Repeat that again. I just want to make sure that I have this correct.
Here it is. If you as a pitcher in the Major League Baseball ether throw four balls without throwing a strike, that means that either you threw four balls intentionally because you're afraid of this guy. Big scary guy. You're afraid of that guy at the plate. Or the batter maybe just has a great eye. And I think we should reward the batters with good eyes. Think about a guy like Nolan Schanuel, FAU alum, a guy that gets contact on the ball a lot, and he also has a great eye. Mm-hmm. If he's able to take four balls without taking a strike, put that man on second base.
You know what?
Send it up to Manfred or whoever the hell is the commissioner these
days.
Stone, I don't hate that at all. Now
he could have just started with an intentional walk. You start on second. I love it.
So here's the thing. The reason why I said it this way is because there's ways to get around a quote-unquote intentional walk because obviously when they set up an intentional walk these days, the catcher walks off to the side. They throw four balls.
Well, not anymore. You can just call. It's even lamer now. You don't even have to risk a potential wild pitch, which was always a nice Halley's Comet rare event. Now you can just tell the umpire, hey, we want to walk this guy. The ump says, all right, go to first.
That's so cowardice. I hate that. But that's the thing. If you're going to walk a guy intentionally, a guy that we as fans want to see hit, because usually you're doing it to the stars of the sport if you're intentionally walking a guy. If you're walking Barry Bonds in his prime, you got to put him on second base then. Let's make this thing interesting.
All right.
just like some of those overtime rules.
So here's my question for you, though. We have some hurdles, some landmines, if you will, here.
Yeah.
Okay,
talk to me.
What if a guy hit a double? The hitter before.
Yeah.
And there's already a man on second. What are we doing? Is he
that guy goes to third? Yeah.
All right. What if
the bases are loaded
or if there's runners on second and third, I like this because it eliminates intentionally walking someone to set up a double play.
Exactly.
If you have runners on second and third with less than two outs, you should be punished for that. You can't just load the bases to try and set up a double play. I think that's good. So runners on second and third, first is open. You can't intentionally walk the hitter because everybody automatically advances a base.
Yep.
After an intentional walk, even if first base is open, and so you're giving up a run in that spot.
This is
all
my
right.
thing.
I, all right.
I'm
all
not
right.
a baseball genius, but I'm a guy that has foresight. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot
agree.
Of creativity and juices in my brain, and I just want to get this right up the ladder. So I'll hit some people up, and we'll see if we can get that thing changed.
Well done.
Stone, I've got to be honest here. I did not see this type of intellectual wizardry coming from Theo when it comes to baseball. One, I love getting rid of the intentional walk. Two, I think we collectively talked it out and came up with a superb, fair solution to any of the pratfalls rules-wise that would be exhibited by eliminating the intentional walk. I think we've done something important for the sport of baseball here today.
Now, Ken, let me be honest with you now. I don't think this is an original Theo Dorsey take.
I promise it is.
I think he stole it. It sounds too good.
No, it's like,
it sounds too good.
It's too rational for somebody that never watches baseball.
That's what allows me. Sometimes you need an outsider. Sometimes you need a guy who isn't just so enamored with the integrity of the game and the history and the tradition. You need an outside brain to come in to make things work. That's what I am. And you're welcome, baseball.
That is really, really impressive, Theo. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? Me? I don't want to see an eligible man downfield anymore. Let's get the big grunts on the O-line involved in the offense like God intended, okay? You don't see any ineligible men downfield in rugby, do you? No. You're big, you're burly, you have that ball, you blow people up, all right? Let's make sure that American football is just as tough as rugby, all right? I'm not having this sport usurped here in the great United States of America. Get the big dudes going. Theo says eliminate the intentional walk, and we just came up with a new landscape of rules that would allow baseball to thrive. I've never been more proud of this radio show, and I'm way more prouder of this show right now because at this time yesterday we were talking about if E.T. had a thick ass. So I'm telling
Which
you,
he does.
He absolutely does. We have made a lot of progress in 24 hours. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Social media at KLV1063. That's 888-760-3776. I have to imagine Stones is football related.
Definitely football related. I'm going to keep this one plain and simple. Why does taunting exist? I mean, let's just get down to it. Why does taunting exist? At what point? Who in the competition committee said, hey, guys, I don't want guys celebrating and rubbing it in other players' faces. It's mean. I got to wonder what age, what gender, like who came up with this rule? I want orchestrated team celebrations. Bring them back.
Yes.
The game is fun. I'm a content-driven guy. Taunting is the lamest rule in all of sports.
So you realize, though, you know why the NFL instituted it is because they were trying to set an example for the youth of tomorrow.
That's the whole reason that it was born. It's probably the last explanation I want to hear. Because there are youth teams celebrating touchdowns more than the NFL this day and age. So I hate it. I don't care if that's the reason. I think it sucks.
But, all right, I'm all for taunting. I'm all for verbal eviscerations on the field. One of your best stories is your playoff season at Southern Illinois. You're the starting quarterback, and you guys, who did you beat at home? It was your second top 10 team of the year at the FCS level.
We beat North Dakota State.
You beat North Dakota State, and you said you had gone big game fishing, and you just caught another one, and it's going on the wall?
That's right.
That's what you said. And then you went to where, South Dakota State or North Dakota State?
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State, a game where you threw 9,000 interceptions,
mm-hmm.
and you were benched at halftime.
Yep.
And all of those South Dakota State players were taunting you mercilessly every time you got sacked.
Every time
or
I got
threw a pick.
Every time I got sacked or threw a pick, they would reel in a fishing rod because they were the big fish that I was supposedly going to catch. And what did I do? I loved it. I dapped him up, gave him a little spanking on the behind. And I was like, right. Good stuff. And then went to my sideline. I didn't give a damn.
Now, one thing we can't turn this into, though, is like a flash mob. I'm all for taunting. I'm all for coordinated celebrations, all of that. But if we're going to get all 53 guys on the sidelines suddenly dancing a Janet Jackson, count me out on that. We need to draw a line somewhere.
Ashley's favorite play from last weekend of football, which she watched sparingly as I was watching, was when I forget who scored the touchdown for the Dolphins. But there was, I think it might have been the Mostert.
It was
touchdown.
Raheem Mostert when they went surfing afterwards.
She absolutely loved it. She rewinded it like 5 times. She was locked in. She was like imitating it. Like these things, as much as people are afraid that taunting and celebrations can taint the youth and, oh my God, bad role models, these things are electric. They're fun. And also they suck in the casual viewer like my fiance Ashley. So, yes, I love the celebrations. I love the taunting. It's one of the best parts of sports.
You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. I'm getting rid of an eligible man downfield. I want to get the big dudes involved. Theo, he says get rid of that intentional walk in baseball. And Stone hates the taunting rule. He would eliminate it tomorrow and open up a world of chaos on football fields across America. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Social media open on this Friday at KLV 106.3. That's 888-760-3776. You know what? We mentioned Raheem Mostert. Stone, could you give me a little bit of Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Emporium if possible?
Hut! Green! Hut! Hut!
Oh, no. There's a man down.
Raheem Mostert did not practice Wednesday with a knee. Yesterday, Raheem Mostert back at practice. Dolphins running back, and he is a full go 100% to play against the Patriots on Sunday night. Said it was the coaches telling him, hey, take the day off Wednesday. They needed a reason for why he didn't practice. They slapped a knee on there. Mostert says he is good. He is ready to go. That is great news for the Dolphins. That is your Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Emporium. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain? Need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians, leading-edge treatments, and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Here's your tale of the tape on this Friday. Me, Ken LaVica, I'm on the 6th floor of FAU Stadium. I'm preparing to travel with FAU football to Clemson for tomorrow night's game. But I am making the sacrifice to make sure I'm on the show for all of our listening pleasure today. Theo and Stone in the Anjan Levine Action and Attorney Studios, downtown West Palm Beach, Phillips Point Towers, right off of the Intracoastal. There, we have that set aside. We have a lot to do. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Social media, it is full. We'll get to it when we come back at KLV 106.3. He is Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Box 29. I'm Ken LaVica. I'm live on ESPN 106.3.
From the Anajar and Levine Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, you are listening to Ken LaVica Live on ESPN 106.3.
My name is Ken LaVica, and I'm here to tell you that Avenged Sevenfold rules so hard. And good thing for you, Avenged Sevenfold is at, I think, Financial Amphitheater tomorrow at 6:30. Get your tickets at I Think Financial Amphitheater. Avenged Sevenfold, one of the greatest metal bands of the last 20 years. Fight me on it. I don't care. Is at I Think Financial Amphitheater. So go check them out. I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm. The best concerts coming through I Think Financial Amphitheater. Speaking of I Think Financial, they've been chosen as the best credit union in the 2023 Best of the Best Treasure Coast Community Choice Awards. They're dedicating September to their members. They invite you to join them as they celebrate Member Appreciation Days on select days this month with complimentary Chick-fil-A lunch and a prize giveaway at all branches. One lucky person wins $50 at each event. Not a member? Thinking of joining? Stop by your local branch or visit ithinkfi.org to see how I Think Financial can start saving you money. I Think Financial wouldn't be who they are without their members. Visit ithinkfi.org for locations and member appreciation dates. I Think Financial, tomorrow, 6:30. It is a religious experience. Trust me, I know. Avenged Sevenfold at I Think Financial Amphitheater tomorrow. All right. We've been talking about rule changes in sports. What we would, if we could get rid of one rule by tomorrow, what would it be? All of this off of Justin Jefferson. That really did, Theo, change the game last night. And I'm not saying the Vikings would have won, but I think perhaps it would have been more competitive if Justin Jefferson did not fumble out of the side of the end zone and the ball was not given to the Eagles in the second quarter with a 10-7 lead at the 20-yard line. Perhaps we would have seen a better game than the usual dreck that we get on Thursday night on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and it definitely it would have changed the way that the Eagles were able to just run the ball in the second half. Like, maybe they would have been forced to throw it more and try the Brian Flores defense. Like, I would have been interested to see how that would have went. But at the end of the day, we really don't think much of this Vikings team still, right? Like, I think the Eagles still come out on top.
I'm starting to trend towards bad with the Minnesota Vikings. And by the way, man, what an impact Brian Flores has made on that Vikings defense with a home loss to the Bucs and then Jalen Hurts tearing him apart in week two. There you go, Coach Flo. I say if I can eliminate one rule in sports that is not the offensive touchback rule, let the big guys get some love on offense. Let's get rid of an eligible man downfield. Let's open up the playbook. You want rough, you want tumble, you want physical, you want violence. We turn this sport more into rugby than it's ever been before. Take the restraints off of the big men and let them rumble, all right? Theo says get rid of the intentional walk, and I actually think Theo is realistically onto something that if we presented it to fans at an owner's meeting tomorrow, it may very well be instituted. Get rid of the intentional walk, and we start seeing punishments for four-pitch walks as well. Oh, I love that one. And Stone says taunt away. No more taunting rule. It's terrible. You know what? We don't need to set examples for kids. How about you just parent your kid? They shouldn't be raised off of what they see on the football field. Get rid of taunting. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Chris messages in. The reason taunting isn't allowed is grown men will fight you. So the NFL would have 15 fights a game, period. You can't say ejection should curtail them. It won't. Now, what about significant fines, Stone?
Yeah, I mean,
that.
I think fines is the way to go about it. I don't think these players are going to fight because they don't want to get thrown out of the game.
Yeah,
they don't want to lose any of their money. They don't want to cost their team. Come on, they'll be smart. These are grown-ass men.
Yeah, come on. Also, I was going to say, I think as long as it's not, I think the NBA kind of got it right. You think about the Dikembe Mutombo taunt, right? Like where he does the finger wag in a guy's face. Well, they changed it to where you could do that towards the crowd and not towards players on the opposing team. I think if you just lift the restraints of what you can actually do with taunting, that's fine, but maybe not getting in a guy's face. Like, we're not going to have a bunch of fights on Sundays. These dudes are millionaires now.
Chris also additionally says, get rid of intentional grounding when a quarterback throws the ball through the back of the end zone or in the stands when he's out of the pocket. We all know that's intentional. Just get rid of it altogether. Now, I would say make intentional grounding more stringent. I think that we're way too lax with intentional grounding. When you can simply just roll out of the pocket and live to play another play, as they say, I think that's lame. It's gotten to a point where you can, as long as you're outside the tackle box, you can throw it 17 yards into the seats. I think that should be intentional grounding. Or if you're in trouble and you just throw it at the feet of your running back who's standing near the line of scrimmage, I think that should be intentional grounding. I say, let's really clamp this thing down and let the defense have some of their life back.
Yeah. Thank you, Stone. Get on him. Get on him.
You want it again?
Because you're a quarterback. Yeah.
You quarterbacks are so soft because you have had every rule over the last 15 years catered to you to protect you to not even – I will say this. Quarterbacks now, their position just as physical as the kicker. That's what we're trending towards.
Did you not see Josh Allen on Sunday night?
Well, Josh Allen
or Monday night.
He openly sits there now, Josh Allen, with a sign that reads, "Hit me in the ribs." That's a little bit different.
It's turnover mountain right there, man. And he's just out there living life playing rugby. You just said you want more physical action down the field. Josh Allen's giving it to you from the quarterback position, man. Get that dude some respect.
Ken, a football game without intentional grounding would be chaos. Or if there were stricter rules on intentional grounding, it would turn into madness.
You guys, I mean, again, it's spoken like a true quarterback. You guys have gotten so soft. What would Johnny Unitas say? That's my question.
Oh my God.
Johnny Unitas would say, reward me. I'll reward myself with throwing it in the vicinity of a receiver. I don't need this gutless throw it into the stands as a souvenir. That's Gen Z stuff right there.
No, it's not.
That's gross.
He also
absolutely
threw, like,
gross.
He threw more interceptions than Josh Allen. Like him and Joe Namath. Shout out to Palm Beach.
I think all quarterbacks should have a crew cut and wear those high top spikes and throw balls in the vicinity of their receiver every single time. That's football, damn it. Joe is in Jupiter on Ken Levick Alive. Hi, Joe.
Hello, guys. So first, let me start by saying I do have, before I give you my opinion, I do have full respect for the talent of Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to be a great quarterback, and this is not based on my hatred for the Eagles. Let me get that out there first. And then I'm going to tell you what's driving my – this is not a rule that I think they should get rid of. I think it's a rule they need to imply. Whatever that rugby play is they do where they got like a yard to go.
Yeah.
That shouldn't get him killed.
Pushing the ball carrier?
The tush push.
Yeah, yes. Tush pushing.
Yes. It's a rugby play. And I've heard this morning, out of 37 tries, it's been successful like 36 in the past two or three. I don't think that should be allowed because it's going to get the quarterback eventually hurt. Because the only way to stop that is for a linebacker to fly over the top from 5 yards back and just plant his butt right into the face mask of the quarterback. There's no way to stop it. You can't stop it. So I think that rule should be implied that that's not allowed. I don't know.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, and I think that I think we're seeing the NFL start to act on that a little bit. They did. They have tried, Stone, right, to get rid of that particular play because of that team.
Yeah, they're trying to figure it out. I remember it went through like a two-week stint last year where they were trying to ban it. I don't know what the result has been, but it is a little unfair.
They will eventually – it will eventually be a 10-yard penalty if you pull or push the ball carrier.
I think
you already can't pull them, right? You have
you
to
can't,
push.
Yeah, you can't pull them. You have to push, and I think that's going to disappear too.
I think one of the small ways that they're going to try to start phasing it out is – so you see these running backs line up in what's called a sniffer position where you're like a yard back of the guard, and I think that you're going to start saying that running backs can't be within 3 yards of the quarterback, and it's going to prevent – these guys from just, like I said, being basically under center at running back and then just pushing the quarterback. So I think they'll make them start a little deeper back.
Here's one thing I would say if you're an Eagles person and you're a fan of the Eagles and you want to keep this play in the game, Shane Steichen, who was their coordinator last year and is the head coach over with the Indianapolis Colts, he tried this same play with the Colts in week one with Anthony Richardson, and it didn't work. So, I mean, there is some element of skill because the Eagles' offensive line is that dominant because Jalen Hurts can squat a Mack truck that comes with the Eagles being able to execute that play. If it was easy to do for everybody, then more quarterbacks might be doing it. So that's the only pushback I would give on the other side. But as a guy that was fearing it last Super Bowl, I would like to see that get litigated out. Yeah.
All I'm saying is more rugby the better.
Why? What's your fascination with rugby today?
Because that's what real men play.
It's a man's sport.
Yeah, damn right it
so
is.
So you both are meatheads on rugby.
I mean, I love the tush push personally. It's just meat on meat. It's just grown men going after
it. That's how I had my second kid.
Yeah, just meat on meat action. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And you're just tushing pushes or
that's
pushing
right.
tushes or whatever it is.
And real men push tush.
Mm-hmm.
And score. I think Financial has been chosen as the best credit union in 2023. You know what? I already did that. I already did that, Stone. I already did I Think Financial, right?
You definitely did. Hey, it's hot outside, Ken. It's Woo! Hot outside. Forget- and we had to stand outside for a mariachi band this morning.
It was
the 10th anniversary of Deporte 760 AM, yeah. But it's a little hot out there.
It is. It is. It is. That's why you should join Tullamore Dew and ESPN West Palm tomorrow. It's tomorrow, September 16th. Roxy's Pub in West Palm for all your college football action. Come watch your favorite game from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll sip it on some Tullamore Dew drink specials. While you're there, you can also register to win some awesome prizes, including a pair of University of Miami football tickets and a branded Tullamore Dew cooler. Tullamore Dew, the original triple blend Irish whiskey, must be 21 plus. That's Tullamore Dew, ESPN West Palm, Roxy's tomorrow, college football action. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? And, I mean, Stone, do you take in rugby? Do you watch rugby on a regular basis or at least try to catch it occasionally?
I definitely don't. I do follow the AFL Twitter account.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And so I catch some of the clips. I'm a fan. I repost. But do I watch live? No.
Theo, I think that you should go down a rabbit hole of rugby, to be quite honest.
It's not that I haven't seen it, and it's I love the jerseys, by the way. Rugby jerseys, oh, yeah. Rugby shirts, yeah, I'm all in on that. But just, throw some pads on me. I'm not one of those type of guys. I'm not manly enough to be out there hitting and risking my life and my health for the love of the game. Just, give me pads in my sports.
You can abolish only one single rule in sports tomorrow. What is it? You can abolish only one single rule in sports tomorrow. What is it? I say let offensive linemen block down the field, and after a certain amount of time, they can catch passes. Let the big men go free. No intentional walk anymore, says Theo Dorsey, and Stone says taunt away. The taunting rules are garbage. You can abolish only one single rule in sports tomorrow. What is it? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Social media at KLV. 1063. Casey messages in. Get rid of a legal man downfield. As long as he doesn't catch a pass, who gives a bleep? Stone, you're saying that would open up the playbook.
Oh my God.
These big meaty bodies go down and just start throwing bodies around.
Yeah, you'd start seeing like manufactured hook and ladders. You'd have a quarterback take a 3-step drop, throw like a 10-yard curl route, and then the tackle would blow up the corner. And it would be, there's so many intricate things that offensive coordinators can come up with nowadays. And if you were able to have linemen downfield, there's just endless possibilities.
Steve messages, abolish defensive pass interference on any play where the offensive target decelerates to make contact with the defensive player.
That's love a that. Judgment. That's a judgment call. Yeah, thing,
you definitely
though.
Can like, make tough. That call, but I love the idea.
Yeah. I love the idea of it too, and it's the same concept of someone purposely throwing on the brakes so you run into the back of them when you're driving. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about like in a car.
Oh, but I thought you meant also in basketball, like
so
Chris Paul move. Where
Chris Paul puts his ass into someone else's groin. Yeah, I hate
which
that.
Which they kind of tried to litigate out.
They've tried
NBA.
To. Yeah. They've tried to. I do think, though, yes, it's a judgment call, but just because it's a judgment call doesn't mean that it holding is a judgment call. Any pass interference is a judgment call. If you think the offensive player slowed up to make contact, I think you get rid of punishing the defensive player there.
Well, what I'll say is, when I say it's a judgment call, it's like for referees right now today, if they think that the offensive player is the one that caused the contact by decelerating, then they wouldn't throw the flag. Like I think that it's already a rule that's in the books. Maybe it's more of a point of emphasis thing for officials maybe ahead of a season versus a rule change.
Charlotte messages, targeting in college football sucks. It doesn't suck, but the fact that there's – every officiating crew has a different definition for what it is. That's what sucks about it.
Yeah.
And now you have the guys in the booth next to you, Ken, whose job is to sit there and look for targeting. And that's like the only thing that they're paid to do up there in the booth next to you. And they're just they feel a little too important sometimes trying to stop games and get in the ref's ears. I agree with whoever, I think it was Charlotte. I agree with
it's
you.
I think it's important.
It is important, yes. But again, it needs to be applied consistently, and it's not.
Yeah. That's one of those things, again, a judgment call thing. They need to clean it up, have it more consistent. But, yeah, I think the rule is good. The rule's good.
And then Leon messages in, college football's version of defensive pass interference, 15 yards. Make it the NFL's version, spot of the foul.
I don't know.
I hate in the NFL when you get rewarded for throwing a 50-yard aimless pass, and just because the defender gets a little bit physical, then it's a 50-yard completion. I don't like that.
That's Derek Carr special, man. I can't wait to see more of it in New Orleans.
It is the Derek Carr special. We even saw it Sunday against the Titans.
Yeah.
I actually like college's version, to be honest. I think it's more fair.
I mean, but if you were to implement that in the NFL, you're just going to have corners getting beaten, just tugging jerseys immediately, 8, 9 yards, 10 yards down the field. So they're going to take advantage of it and ruin it. I think that's why you had to punish them.
I guess. But you could say that about any exploitation of a rule. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to bring defense back. You want to know why? Because I'm all about tough guys like rugby. You can eliminate one rule in sports tomorrow. Which one are you getting rid of? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. And we will crown a winner of the worst judgment of the week when we come back. He's Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29. I'm Ken Levick. I'm live on ESPN 106.3.
Good vibes only.
From the Anajar and Levine Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, you are listening to Ken Levick Live on ESPN 106.3.
You're damn right. Actually, you want to hear some good vibes. The definition of good vibes. This is Tua. Tua this week, when asked, I believe it was Hal Habib of the Palm Beach Post, who asked Tua if he thought people still had questions about him and his ability to throw the deep ball. Listen to spicy, spicy Tua Tagovailoa.
Do you think that anyone is still saying you can't throw deep?
I don't care. I don't care. 466 is... That's what 466 is if I can't throw deep.
I mean, Stone, that's vibes.
That's good vibes. Hold on, give me 2 seconds. How about this?
Good vibes
that's
only.
Good stuff from Tua right there. We need more of this from him on the weekly basis.
It is awesome to see that dude just so super confident, man. I'd be confident, too, if I was a quarterback who had Tyreek Hill at my disposal.
Or a quarterback that was 1-0, you know what I mean?
Damn right, especially when
in the AFC.
Right, and the guy you beat, the guy you out-dueled, you're compared to constantly because of your proximity in the draft. That's just, he deserves all this. He deserves a big season. He deserves a ring. He deserves the Lombardi Trophy. That's all I'm saying.
You know what we mean? You know what we mean, Theo?
I'm clueless of what you guys are talking about right now. That's okay.
Hey, Stone, do you remember what are the Chiefs right now?
0-1. Oh and one.
Man, I love it. It's weird because
0-1
in February, Dolphins fans are so quiet. It's still, you can hear a mouse squeak in February, but they're loud as hell in September. Also, Stone, what's Aaron Rodgers' record right now?
We don't speak about Aaron Rodgers until we hear him talk on Pat McAfee today. That hasn't happened yet, so I won't be answering any questions on that
technically
topic.
Technically 1-1, 1-0. Yeah.
I did find it uproariously funny. He took a photo of himself, posted it to Instagram after his Achilles surgery yesterday, and guess what's on his face? A mask. Thought that was kind of funny and ironic. I don't know. But I digress.
I didn't even notice.
I did not peep that either.
Mm-hmm. Over here. Can we name a worst judgment of the week winner? I want to start with Jay Norvell, Colorado State head coach. He was on his coach's show on Wednesday night, and he, for some reason, and Jay Norvell, by the way, no relation to Mike, the Florida State head coach, and especially now Mike's going to make sure everybody knows there's no relation to Jay Norvell. But Jay Norvell, Colorado State head coach, in advance of their big Colorado showdown, their matchup with the Buffaloes, College Game Day is there. Jay Norvell versus Deion Sanders tomorrow, and Jay Norvell said the following about Deion Sanders.
Nice to head on with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me.
Did they start clapping?
They did. They did. And then a man who's not known for bad judgment, so uncharacteristic of him, O.J. Simpson, was on the It Is What It Is podcast. And here is his impressions, his reaction to the Aaron Rodgers injury.
The Jets are still going to be good. They got that defense, and that kid learned a lot from Aaron. Unfortunately, 9/11 is just a bad date for New York, you know?
Oh, God. So let's just go through it one more time. Your first entry in the Bad Judgment of the Week award, Jay Norvell, Colorado State head coach, targeting Colorado head man Deion Sanders.
And I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me.
O.J. Simpson, It Is What It Is podcast.
Good. They got that defense, and that kid learned a lot from Aaron. Unfortunately, 9/11 is just a bad date for New York, you know?
Oh, boy. By the way, what's worse about that OJ thing? The comment about 9/11 is just a bad day for New York, or the uproarious fake laughter in response to it?
I think that was genuine nervous laughter out of Cameron and Mace. I also think... What's worse about the whole situation is the fact that they had O.J. Simpson on as a guest.
That's true. That's actually bad judgment before we get to the comment where we're deliberating the bad judgment. That's a great call, Theo.
Because the show itself, I mean, they laugh after pretty much every single story or interview question or everything. They're clowns. They're joking. And, having O.J. Simpson on there, definitely a guy that has nothing to lose. Bad call. Bad judgment.
So let's vote here. We can expand the Bad Judgment Award this week. Who are you giving your vote to in the Bad Judgment of the Week Award? Jay Norvell, Colorado State head coach. O.J. Simpson, equating Aaron Rodgers' injury to why 9/11 is a bad day for the city of New York. These chuckle clowns for laughing at O.J. Simpson's comment. Or the Is What It Is podcast for booking O.J. Simpson. Let's go around the horn. Theo, where is your vote going?
It's still Jay Norvell. I mean, why are you waking the beast in Colorado when you coach a team that is now, what, a 3-4 touchdown dog? I think that's a stupid decision. And he's not the one that's got to go out on the field and take the beating. So it's Jay Norvell.
Stone, where is your vote going in the Worst Judgment of the Week award?
Considering I laid a hefty bet after I heard Jay Norvell say this and this clip surfaced on social media on the -23.5 Colorado, this one's the easy choice here. Come on, Jay.
All right, we'll make it unanimous. Can I hear the chuckle clowns again one more time from the Is What It Is podcast?
Bark, you know.
Jay Norvell does, though, make it a clean sweep. He is the winner of the Worst Judgment of the Week award. Now, congratulations, Jay. I have a theory on why Jay Norvell said that I will explain when we come back. And don't forget, later in the show, Theo Dorsey makes your fantasy, your football fantasies come true.
Whew,
I got all
yeah.
Hot and bothered. Your football fantasies come true.
Damn right.
There we go. So that's later on in the show. I'm at FAU. I'm going to Clemson today with FAU football. Theo and Stone are in West Palm, and we are hanging out with you, the loyal listener, on a Friday. He's Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29. I'm Ken Levick. I'm live on ESPN 106.3.